tuned in to the Community Cats Podcast. Ready? Let's go.
Welcome to the Community Cats Podcast. I am your host, Stacey LeBaron. I've been involved helping homeless cats for over 20 years with the Merrimack River Feline Rescue Society. The goal of this podcast is to expose you to amazing people who are improving the lives of cats. I hope these interviews will help you learn how you can turn your passion for cats into action. And today we're speaking with Nancy Mello. Nancy is an animal communicator and a psychic from Mystic, Connecticut, with over 500 five-star Google reviews. She believes the combination of science and spirituality helps give her a voice to the voiceless, and credits her gifts to her upbringing in rural Northern California, where she had pigs, cats, and dogs as her friends. Her unique skills include clairvoyance, mediumship, allowing her to discover root cases of behaviors in animals and even identifying illnesses or emotions. Nancy's clear-cut approach, validation of unique behaviors and items, as well as honesty and empathy, have gained her a worldwide client base. She can speak on behalf of pets to help bridge the gap between pets and their human companions. Further, Nancy has successfully located over 100 missing pets just since 2020. Nancy, I'd like to welcome you to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right. So first and foremost, how'd you become passionate about cats, Nancy?
When I was 3 or 4 and growing up in rural Northern California, I lived on an agricultural farm, which means we had wheat and corn and pear trees. And I had the idea one day, because there isn't much to do, that I was going to decide what my favorite animal was. And I declared this to my mom, and I ran out on the acres and acres of pear trees that we had. And I decided to ask the universe at 3 or 4 years old what my favorite animal was. And I asked out loud, and came to me right away. It was a cat. I ran all the way back home and I said, "Mom, Mom, Mom, the universe just told me, God just told me, my favorite animal is a cat." And my mom said, "Okay," and she placated me. The next day, we went to preschool and my mom came and picked me up. And she said, "Nancy, you won't believe this, but a cat showed up down our driveway." And where I lived, it was where animals were commonly dropped off. And I want to mention that my mom is the biggest skeptic in the world. And she would never have planted this cat because, frankly, I don't think she wanted any more animals because that's how we got our animals. But yet this cat arrived at our doorstep and she lived for the next 15 wonderful years. And it was almost as if the universe was saying, "Here you go. And now here's the cat to prove that, yes, in fact, your favorite animal is a cat."
And that began your journey of getting involved with animals. Can you expand a little bit more about your childhood and your development around animals? And just how did you get from when you were 3 years old to where you are now? How did this process all happen? It's not like you sat down at the Thanksgiving table and said, "Mom and Dad, this is what I want to do when I grow up," right? So this evolution, how has this taken shape?
It started by animals just appearing at our door and having them as my friends, having pigs that we were raising for 4-H and cuddling with them. And even at 3, 4, 5 years old, understanding that they knew I was lonely and that I needed a friend. Animals were my friends. And even before I had words for it, they understood me and they gave me comfort and love and acceptance in a way that I didn't feel in my life, in my family. It wasn't until my late 30s that I became public with my abilities in terms of being an evidential medium, an animal communicator. However, my life has grown into being led through working with animal rescue at 18 through my early 20s of helping with transporting animals in California to when I was a military spouse and helping animals when we lived in Hawaii that were again dropped off. Animals seemed to be drawn to me and would ask for help, and I would always answer that call. So in my late 30s, still a military spouse and now living in Connecticut, when I heard that call, that I knew that this was what I was supposed to do with my life, I was very, very resistant because I was still trying to live in a box and try and live in a very socially acceptable way. And I came to the conclusion through quite a bit of depression that if I could help one person or one pet, then I had been able to serve my purpose. And my cat just meowed in the background as if to say, "Yes, that's true." So that's how it came to be. It came through a lot of painstaking moments and a lot of losses with a lot of animals, but animals always showed me the way.
It's interesting because I find many times too, for those of us involved in animal welfare, how we develop and grow is obviously, it's not clearly defined. We're not a medical doctor. We're not a lawyer, a general practice lawyer or something like that. I personally don't question the ways that I get pulled in one way or another. I just let the pull happen and see where I end up. And there are times where I don't know where the pull's taking me. And I'm always like, I'm trying to find the yellow brick road. I'm trying to find the yellow brick road. But when it's there, it's magical because then we've hit on something, but we do have to try and work through things in order to get there, or we have to learn lessons and be accepting of sort of different angles and different avenues to help our animals, to help ourselves. It's a dance that we have, you know, with the animals that we're involved with, even if we're not touching them. And so many of our listeners are involved with community cats, and we're not out there hugging and kissing them. We may pick some of them up. We may be able to touch some of them. We may have those kinds of relationships. From your experience, the work that you have done, how have you been involved in that community cat space? We touched upon missing pets, but can you expand on that a little bit further?
Sure. So on my social media, I am always open to questions, which I will answer publicly. Do feral cats recognize me? Do they have names? What are they feeling? What are they thinking? I also work closely with quite a few different rescues across the world, anywhere from India to Kuwait to England and all across the States. And what I've found is that simply by asking the cat, the dog, the pig, what they want, where they want to go, it can help to keep the animal once they are adopted. And I don't have any statistics yet. I'm very big on numbers and science. And it would be really fascinating to see statistically how many of the animals that I did work with to help find that home, how many of them actually stayed. Because part of the challenge is that you place animals that maybe it's not such a good fit for one reason or another, and then they get returned or they go missing and then subsequently feral because they're not in the best place for them.
Do you have situations where you are working with cats that are out in their colony or in their community and the determination is to leave them there?
Absolutely. I work with different feral organizations or little groups of feral communities where I am working and we're talking about, okay, this one is adoptable. This one can go into a house. Mm-hmm. This one wants to be able to acclimate. And others that absolutely are like, nope, I'm good out here.
And how do you work with people? Do you use a photograph? What sort of information do people have to provide you in order to be able for you to connect with the animals or the cats?
All I need is a photo showing their eyes. But honestly, sometimes with ferals, that's not possible, right? They're in colonies. They're here and there, and you're unable to get a photo. And sometimes just getting the name that you call them and where they are, where you last saw them, can be enough. I say it's like a 5G versus a Wi-Fi connection. So getting their eyes, seeing a photo of their eyes is the Wi-Fi. And then if I can just get their name and approximately where they are, then that's more of the 5G connection.
I see, for those of us, we're on Zoom, so we're looking at each other here, and I see your kitty cat in the background there. So your cat's joining the podcast, which is wonderful, tuning in and listening into the conversation. So anyway, it's interesting. I know there are people out there that feel like animal communication really doesn't have a place in this world. And I'm of the mindset, let's just use whatever's going to work. Let's try it all. Can't hurt. And we talked about, I've used animal communicators in the past for missing pets and been very successful in all of those situations. And it's been a great thing, especially for families that are extremely distraught. They feel like they've done everything. And I feel like they've done everything. And at what point in the process do you think an animal communicator should be used when a pet goes missing?
Honestly, I think that if you have someone that you know and trust, call them as soon as you can. Statistically, if you and I are able to work together in the first 6 hours, 90% of the time we can get the pet back. If we wait weeks, months, just like with any other lost or missing, it's going to go down. Also, for instance, if the cat is stolen, then again, statistically, it's going to go down. However, the sooner you can talk to someone, the better. But I always tell people, look at the reviews, look at the good and the bad, ask them questions. If there is no connection in the first 5 minutes, will you refund me? Don't be afraid to ask what the follow-up is like. Ask those important questions first so that you know that you're not being taken for a ride. Because unfortunately, there are people out there, just like in every other profession, that do take advantage of those in their saddest points. And ethically, that is not something I will ever do. And I always feel free to say no. If I don't have time, I say no. In fact, I canceled an emergency session a couple of weeks ago because I had worked with this client previously and it's a stolen dog. And even though they had booked another session, I just didn't feel like I could help them. So I refunded their money and I said, I'm so sorry. I don't feel I have anything to offer. And you should be looking for someone that can say, I don't know.
You like statistics and science and stuff. And so how does that balance with being an animal communicator?
I always say I'm not a veterinarian, not responsible for veterinary advice. I work hand in hand with veterinarians, but also dog trainers, animal trainers, animal behavioralists. I am just part of the puzzle. And what I really like is when we're all working together as a team. So I'll say these are the cat's triggers. In fact, I'm working with a cat right now in Connecticut that is extremely anxious, and we have identified his triggers. And then we have a cat behavioralist, which is going in and helping not only with knowing his triggers that I've identified, now being able to put those into practice. Now, could I do that as well? Theoretically, yes. But when you have someone boots on the ground, it goes hand in hand. Interestingly enough, some of my most common, the common profession of my clients is veterinarians and doctors.
Wow, it's very interesting.
Are you passionate about spay-neuter? Do you want to create more low-cost opportunities for spay-neuter in your hometown? If this sounds like you, then there's a brand new podcast you'll definitely want to check out. Tune in to United We Spay, a monthly podcast from our friends at United Spay Alliance, hosted by me, Stacey LeBaron. Each episode delves into the heart of the spay-neuter movement, addressing root causes of overpopulation and empowering communities for a brighter future. We answer tough questions, shift the conversation from symptoms to prevention, and champion solutions for limited access to affordable spay-neuter services. United We Spay is your go-to source for making a difference, spreading knowledge, and elevating the conversation around the importance of spay-neuter. Available now wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to like and subscribe so you never miss an episode. Tomahawk Live Trap exceeds customers' expectations by providing them with the highest quality humane animal control products available. Check out their new Pro Series Gravity Door Trap. They feature a door that sets automatically when you open it. No hook or plate setting needed. Use discount code KEEPITHUMANE for 10% off your order at livetrap.com. In a recent study, 97% of respondents said that pets are family. Communities can play a vital role in helping to keep families together. Whether it's reuniting lost pets with their owners, donating pet supplies or funds for pet owners in need, or offering short or long-term fostering, people can help keep pets and their people together. We just have to show them how. Did you know there are resources you can use to help bring attention to the programs you offer to help them do just that? From public service announcements, short videos, printable posters, online and social graphics, and much more. Find your resources at www.petsandpeopletogether.org/campaign-resources. #BeAHelper. Are you a proud cat parent looking for the perfect, affordable health care for your kitty? Well, look no further than the Community Cat Clinic, conveniently located in Woodstock, Georgia, just north of Atlanta, and not too far from the Tennessee and South Carolina borders. The health and happiness of all cats are the top priorities at this feline-only hospital. From preventative care, spay, neuter, and vaccines, to specialized and innovative treatments like full-mouth dental, ultrasound, radio, iodine therapy, emergency blockage cases, they got your cat's well-being covered. For the TNR community and local shelters, they offer easy-to-access, low-cost spay-neuter services and volume appointments. So if you want to do a large TNR project, this is the clinic you want to go to. It's worth the extra trip. Appointments are available most days. Check out the Community Cat Clinic online at communitycatclinic.com or visit them in person at the Walmart Shopping Center at the Shops of Trickum on Highway 92 at Trickum Road in Woodstock, Georgia. More purr, less price.
So it is becoming more common to think of feline behaviorists. If you had asked me, I've been doing this for 30 years, and back in 1994, feline behavior and food puzzles and multi-level climbing trees, those are things that weren't really talked about that much. And nowadays, they're becoming more prevalent. And so organizations are trying to have, they have hotlines, feline behavior hotlines, and those kinds of things. It sounds like you're advocating to overlayer the job that you do with the feline behaviorist. So that can be, those services can be applied at the same time, as you say, working hand in hand. Would that be a model?
Absolutely. It just, every situation is different. It's like therapy, right? Sometimes you just need therapy. Sometimes you just need check-ins. In fact, today I had two clients back to back that were check-ins, and we talk every few months and we just do check-ins on the pets, and it's great. But when you have cats with severe PTSD, which I'm seeing more and more, you have a lot of trauma. I can help by saying, okay, this is what happened. And when I'm saying this is what happened, hopefully you have some information and we can connect. For instance, the last client I was working with before this, she had given me the coordinates, or I described where I felt like the dog was dropped off. And then she actually had the coordinates of where the dog was found, and it was exactly where I described. So again, it should match up. So with those connections, I can talk to the dog or cat and I can say, you're not there anymore, and help, again, like therapy, release that. You're safe. Then I'm going to say, this is what might help. The dog needs to be more socialized. The dog needs more walks, whatever. Same thing with a cat. So I'm going to suggest those things. And then theoretically, you could go to a cat behavioralist and say, okay, this is what I've been told. How can we implement this? And it can work together. Same thing with veterinarians. I can tell you where a cat is hurt, where they're feeling pain. But then I always say, please go to your veterinarian and say, okay, I feel like it's here. But then they double check. It's the same thing with my own pet's veterinarian. It's trust but verify, right? So I have one of my own cats, Katniss. I knew she was having pain in her mouth. And she kept telling me, pain in my mouth. She'd wake me up in the middle of the night. I'm having pain in my mouth. So I went and I knew where it was. And I go to the veterinarian and she knows what I do. And I said, okay, Katniss is having pain in the mouth and this is where it is. And she goes, okay. And she checked anyway. Trust but verify. And it worked out. All she needed was a teeth cleaning and it was great. But the two of us together figured it out. So absolutely, working hand in hand. I am not a replacement for a veterinarian. I am not a replacement for a cat behavioralist. I'm not a replacement for an expert in cats. I just hear what they're saying and I can be their voice. But working together is a cooperative, is the ultimate idea to make sure that these cats are not only healthy, but happy, because then they're going to stay. They're going to be happier in the home. And when that comes together, it's beautiful because then your bond is growing with them.
You just mentioned something earlier that I have to pick up on. So you're saying you see a lot more PTSD or trauma in your clients and cats. Is that since pre-COVID? Are you saying that's something that's happened because of the pandemic, or why are you seeing that?
I think first and foremost, people are becoming more aware that cats have thoughts and feelings, can feel pain, can feel loss. So that's first and foremost. I think just people are becoming more aware. The pandemic absolutely did a number on pets. In the beginning of the pandemic, a lot of pets were absolutely going nuts that their people were home. I'll never forget, I had a parrot that was going nuts, screeching all day long, and they just could not make sense of it. And it turned out this parrot was used to silence for 10 hours a day. And, you know, it's just one of those things, because early in the pandemic, everyone's panicking, everyone's scared. They weren't thinking, oh, wait, we're home. So they remove the sound and there you go. So these animals were going a little bit, what's going on? My whole routine has changed. And then people started going back to work. Not only that, but you saw an increase in pets being returned to the shelter, or pets being left behind during moves, or just left on the side of the road. So now I'm seeing a lot of post-pandemic issues with animals that are lonely, that want their people back. Or they're getting out and they're getting lost because people are now distracted again with life opening up, the world opening up.
So it sounds like our cats are not as flexible. And people, that energy in the early days of the pandemic, that nervous energy, you could feel it even here in rural Vermont, everybody all in tents and just this uncertainty. And our animals have to pick up on that too, for sure. And so it is interesting how we think we're separate, but we're really so intertwined. Nancy, I want you to share with us. You've got a podcast that's come out. Share a little bit of details on that.
I have a podcast called Creature Preacher, and it is a show, a podcast, but it's a show. And every show has stories. We have weekly, we have a Rescue Me come out where I highlight animals that are up for adoption, whether it be pigs or chickens or cats. And that is a wonderful dream for me because I want to help. And in those shows, I do say this is what they need. And we highlight the rescue. And it's a wonderful opportunity to get to know their likes and dislikes. I just talked to a cat named Haven who told us her likes about certain TV and certain music and what she didn't care for. And it was a wonderful, that's a wonderful experience. And then we also have the story show, which runs about 30 minutes. And I talk to a person that has a special animal in their life. For instance, there's a show with Jonathan the tortoise, the oldest living land animal in the world. And I speak with his veterinarian who takes care of him on this remote island off the coast of Africa. We talk with cats. We talk with dogs. But it's a story. In that story, there are things that we can learn from that, whether it's certain likes and dislikes of that particular pet or what we can do. For instance, if you have a pet that is nervous when you leave, what can you tell them? What will help if your cat feels nervous about this? What can you do? So there's always a lesson for everyone that everyone can take away. And it's just a feel good. They're all feel good stories. They're all stories that you walk away and you have a warm, fuzzy feeling inside.
Well, I want to thank you so much for profiling animals that are looking for homes, too. So appreciate that very much. It's, you know, trying times out there. We have veterinary shortages. Spay neuter capacity is very limited out there. It's really hard to get a spay neuter appointment. You may find with some of your clients that when you say, yes, you need to take them to the vet can't see me for 4 to 6 weeks. And so lots of challenges. I know that in the Northeast and Eastern part of the country, it's just really tough. And I'm sure you're probably seeing that too.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I think more people are looking for animal communication. Is this serious? I think a few times a week, I'm getting emails. I do questions over email. Is this serious enough? And my first thought is, please go to the veterinarian, but if it's not available. And sometimes you can have kind of an intermediary. It's almost like on the nurse helpline. And then I'm going, okay, no, go. Or can you go to someone else? Is there an alternative? So absolutely. I know even for my own pets, it's hard to get in. And not only that, you have veterinarians that they've gone through it as well with the pandemic. And I think I have so much respect and compassion for them as well. And it's always my intention to help. And as long as I'm helping, then I'm doing my job. But it's never my intention to ever speak over anyone or any expert. It's working in addition. And hopefully I'm doing that. I think education is the number one. You know, another thing I'm seeing is a lot more animals are getting dropped off. It's so funny because I was born in 81 and in a rural area. And that's how we found our pets. And I am amazed that in 2024, the number of people that think that it's okay to drop animals off on the side of the road. I'm just amazed.
Yeah. Yeah. Very challenging times. And I think we were making some great strides there for a while. And then we've had some challenges. And I think the pandemic has pulled us back. I think the economy has made things very challenging. We have housing is brutal. The cost of housing. And now landlords are not allowing pets as much as they used to also. So just lots of challenges out there for sure. Nancy, if folks are interested in finding out more about your podcast or finding out more about the work that you do, how would folks do that?
Sure. So you can just Google Creature Preacher Podcast with Nancy Mello. It's available on all major podcast platforms. My website is nancymello.com. That's NancyMello.com. On Instagram, I'm at Nancy Mello Official. And on TikTok, I'm at Nancy.Mello, where I have a whole section on how to help ferals, how to help wild animals, how that connection, and you can explore more of what I have found in my own work.
Wonderful. Nancy, is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners today?
I think that we are doing a wonderful job in carrying the torch of helping feral cats and doing the trapping and neutering. I think that we need to get the younger generation involved. We need to be teaching our children. We need to be starting to encourage more young people to help us. And a lot of times it's just showing the way. In my own work, I find that younger people are the good news is they're getting a lot more compassionate and empathetic, but they're not wanting to put the work in sometimes. And so I would encourage everyone that's doing this humbling work to reach out on social media and start educating the younger generations in how they can help and get boots on the ground as well, because so many of us have been carrying the torch for decades. And getting younger people involved and saying, we need to continue this work is important, is huge.
Many of us our backs are getting a little bit stiff, and picking up those traps and schlepping the cat food around is getting a little harder for some of us who have been doing this for 30 plus years. And I think the reality is this is a lifelong commitment. Trap, neuter, return is not going to go away. No matter how much spay, neuter we offer to the general public, we will still have the need for trap, neuter, and return. It's going to be in our DNA. We have barn cats here in Vermont. So that's a different type of TNR, but it's still TNR. So we have working cats. It's going to happen as long as we have population and we have people and we have cats that repopulate very quickly, then we're going to need to have trap, neuter, return, and we need to have those skills in place. And the more hands, what is it, many hands is light work or something like that. I've used the term the normalization of TNR, which is just, this is what we do. There's no other option. This is what we do. If you've got cats in your backyard, you got to figure out, are they owned? Who owns them? Are they tipped? Know what an ear tip is, all those kinds of things. And so hopefully that's what we're doing here at the Community Cats Podcast. This is what you're doing with your work, helping people turn their passion for cats into action. Nancy, I want to thank you so much for agreeing to be a guest on the show, and I hope we'll have you on again in the future.
Thanks so much for having me.
That's it for this week. Please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a review. We love to hear what you think, and a 5-star review really helps others find the show. You can also join the conversation with listeners, cat caretakers, and me on Facebook and Instagram. And don't forget to hit follow or subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a single show. Thanks for listening, and thank you for everything that you do to help create a safe and healthy world for cats.